is Jake Maxwell. I'm the pastor of Second Baptist Church in Lubbock, and I'd like to tell you about our community. You might hear or read or see our nickname, Second B, but what's most important, what our greatest hope and desire is to be a community of grace. We are an inclusive community that celebrates the diversity of life in our world and in our city. We do believe there's something special, something sacred that happens when we all come together under a power that is greater than ourselves.
Well, good morning, everyone. I welcome you to worship today. It is so good to see you guys here. It feels really good to see some of y'all here. And we welcome those of you who are still at home watching our live feed, hopefully, right now. We welcome you, too. It is great to be back in this church again with some of you, and I'm grateful for you all for being here. You might notice that Pastor Jake is not here, and that is for a really great reason, because baby girl Maxwell was born yesterday morning. Look at her. Isn't she beautiful? I can tell you that she was 8 pounds and 20 inches, and they're still working on a name, and she's the most perfect baby on the planet. Allison is doing great and feeling well today, and is really the best mama. She's strong and she's amazing, and Jake is being the best daddy ever, and Eva, when she gets to see her baby sister, will be so much in love. And so please, if you have time, write a prayer card to the Maxwells. They will want to know that you are thinking of them, because we celebrate with them together on the birth of their precious baby girl. And we are so grateful for Dr. Larry Payne stepping in today in honor of Jake's absence. We're so grateful that you came today to proclaim for us. So I know you will be blessed by his sermon when he presents just in a little bit. Guys, we've done everything possible to ensure the safety for all of you, and we thank you for doing your part too. Y'all are all out there wearing your masks, and you're distancing yourself in the sanctuary. And even though we won't be singing together as a congregation today, we will be able to praise God with some beautiful, special music presented by Marilyn and Larry and Madeline and Chris and Brock. And we're so grateful for y'all for bringing the worship today so that we can be part of the service. I do look forward to the day where we can all greet each other with handshakes and hugs again. But for today, I will be very happy if you greet me with a wave and a wink, and that'll be just perfect. And then someday we'll get together and do some more. And instead of passing the plates during our offertory, you can always give online at secondb.org/give, and there's a text to give that will show up on the screen during the offertory. And we also have these really cool clear plastic offertory bins on either side of the worship hall that you can place your offering in, a few, or prayer cards as well, anytime during the service. So feel free to do that, and we'll make sure it gets turned in. Gosh, we are just excited that y'all are here. Would you please take a moment now, take a deep breath. Let's turn our hearts and our minds to worship and prepare. The Lord be with you. Rush upon us, overtake and consume us, O holy fire.
until divisions turn to dusty ashes and walls of pride collapse.
Spill out over us, surround and overwhelm us, O satisfying fountain.
Until we exhaust love's richness without measuring cost.
Dance among us, well up and erupt within us, O dynamic word.
Until our tongues know words of peace and our souls speak reconciliation.
Rush upon us, spill out over us, dance among us. Come, O Holy Spirit, come.
Would you pray with me? Holy Spirit, we welcome you this morning. Holy Comforter, we seek your embrace. Wind of God, blow through this place. Light within us a fire. We seek you. We glorify you, we honor you, we praise you, for you are the King of Kings. Be with us now. Light us up. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
I have been given the great privilege to talk about two of our young graduates that are coming out of our youth group. Both of these young men are kind-hearted souls, both full of love and full of light, and it is an honor to know both of them and to be a part of their lives. Jackson, he is actually going to be attending Texas Tech University in the fall and will be going to Raiderland, starting in August, and that is so great. We are so excited for that and for the great opportunities that is going to give you and the great joy that you bring to the people around you. We're very blessed to have you. Riley, I'm going to share one of my absolute favorite memories of Riley. I had just started working here last summer, and 2B Leaders Camp had started, and Riley was this jolly green gentle giant that just loved all the kids but never spoke, and I was so concerned because I'd never heard him talk, never seen him really do a whole lot of outgoing activity. And the first day that we were at the pool, I swear it was a different kid. I don't know who was there. He was on top of the moon, just like going nuts, having fun with all these kids, and he was talking and making jokes, and I was like, oh my gosh, look at this kid. So it's always a pleasure to have Riley around. He always brings a great sense of joy and humor and light to the people around him, and I'm very blessed to know both of these young men. If you would, please keep these young men in your prayers as
losing the sense of the typical graduation is very hard, and high school graduations mean a whole lot, especially to high school students, to high school seniors. So please be keeping these young men in your prayers. We thank God for blessing us through the lives of these young people we recognize today. These youth have grown among us quickly as the years pass by, and we begin a new relationship with them, recognizing them as young adults making their way in this world.
We have seen them grow and develop into young men, and we rejoice that they have been part of us.
Some of you, as parents and teachers, have been significant in their growth. You have shared your beliefs, knowledge, moments of encouragement, and experiences of the responsibilities of life.
As God's people, we seek to share God's love. May they always know the love of God here as their home of faith.
These young people celebrate their accomplishments as a class of graduating seniors, and we celebrate with them. As they look at the world through new eyes, we offer a prayer of hope.
Lord, may these young adults embrace the joys and challenges of faith with courage and grace. May we all know the completeness of your love as we seek to build God's kingdom together. Congratulations.
Our psalm reading this morning is the 27th psalm. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and foes, they shall stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise up against me, yet I will be confident. One thing I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will set me high on a rock. Now my head is lifted up above my enemies all around me. And I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud, be gracious to me and answer me. Come, my heart says, seek his face. Your face, Lord, do I seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger, you who have been my help. Do not cast me off. Do not forsake me, O God of my salvation. If my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Do not give me up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me. They are breathing out violence. I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
There are so many things that feel different about our gathering here today. And we must adapt to those for a while and be ready to seek the Lord as he speaks to us. And so today, one of the things that's normal is a time for reflection and meditation. So I would invite you just to bow in a spirit of prayer and contemplation. There's so much busyness in our world that drawing near to the Lord in such a quiet time is a blessing. Ever-present and ever-active God, today we celebrate Pentecost, the outpouring of your Spirit on the disciples of Jesus centuries ago in Jerusalem. Lord, we remember the launching of your people on a world-changing mission with the amazing news of resurrected life for all humanity. And we remember that they lived in a world of division and oppression, of misguided religion and violence. In many ways, we feel the same here on this day, as we live in a day of pandemic and injustice, polarization, and death. We know that they felt fear in their time, confusion, as they faced an unknown future. Much of that still swirls around us. But we gather here to confess that we need the renewal of our hearts just as much as they did then. And so we pray that today, mighty Spirit, you would blow again upon us, that you would bring forth a new creation, that you would teach us more of the mysteries of faith, that you would pray through us for the kingdom to come, comfort us in our sorrows, and even ignite our passion with an unrelenting love for the hurting neighbors around us. We pray that your voice would speak through us with bold truth and unite our hearts with one another in unity and power. Dear God, dear Spirit, dear Christ, indwelt by your presence, we now pray together. Amen.
Spirit.
thank you, Madeline, and accompany us. And thank you for being here today, present in this place. Let's admit, it feels weird, doesn't it? After 10 weeks, we may be out of the habit, and even today, in all of our spaced out seating and our masks, it just feels a little odd. But I think we need to stop and recognize that over these weeks, our leadership here at Second Baptist has done a phenomenal job keeping us together. The ministry staff, the musicians, the custodial staff, the technical staff, we have felt linked across these weeks, and it is because of their faithfulness. I do appreciate Pastor Jake allowing me to stand in today. He had enlisted Stephanie Nash for a couple of weeks in case the baby was early, and then myself for this week and next week in case the baby was late. So he was preparing. He was bearing that load just like Allison was bearing it. But what a wonderful thing. What a wonderful thing we can celebrate today in the birth of this baby. My wife and I have been members of Second Baptist for quite a while, over a year, and we've enjoyed getting to know you and to share another message or two over these months. But it reminded me of when my wife and I were young pastors, and we were serving a small church in a little town of Oklahoma. And we moved there with Jan expecting, and a few weeks after we had arrived, the news had spread across the community that the Baptist had a new pastor, and the pastor's wife was expecting, and she was out in the community, and one of the ladies said, "Oh, it's wonderful that the Baptists are expecting a new baby." She came home with a little twinkle in her eye, and she said, "The Baptists aren't having this baby. I'm having this baby." But that congregation loved all of our children, four of them as they came along eventually. And I know Second Baptist is going to do exactly the same and has already with the Maxwells and this special little gal. Some of you may have seen some possible names on different videos over the internet. COVID, spelled with a Y, we might suggest, or Vassini. A little different pronunciation is possible. Social distance is a first name and a last name with a little bit of flavor to it. There's just no telling what they'll come up with, but we're grateful that we'll have the opportunity eventually to love on both of those beautiful little girls again. Do you feel brave being here today? A little bit. Many are joining us, we trust, by live stream for this 10:45 service. But we want to acknowledge that we're still living in a time of fear. It is a time of real pandemic. The virus has not changed, and yet we're trying to adapt and adjust to this new normal. Being a part of this service in this way is a part of that very thing. But let's face it, over the last 10 weeks, our minds have been filled with fear. Every newscast has been a rehearsal of fear. Schools have been shuttered, the children not knowing exactly what to do. Hospitals have been overwhelmed in some areas, although our medical facilities have done a fantastic job, as many of the citizens of Lubbock have done. We've changed everything about ourselves, how we shop or don't, how we sit in a restaurant or pick up food from the curb, how we greet one another, no longer with a handshake, sometimes not even an elbow bump. We've changed everything about us, and the reason, the common denominator, it's simply fear. Fear. Fear is not something that is abnormal or something that's new. And so Psalm 27 takes us into a place of fear. And if we'll read between the lines, I think we can hear that emotion surfacing time and time again. Verses 1 through 3 of Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. We don't have to read very far to sense that emotion that we have struggled with echoing through these lines exactly the way we feel it. This ancient psalm probably had a context of the king and liturgy. It was recited at the temple, perhaps once a year at least, as the king would renew his vows of dedication to God, as the people would renew their vows of dedication. It's really a dialogue, and probably the high priest and the king recited it back together, much as we do our responsive readings. But as we read it, as we get caught up in what this psalm writer is saying, we know that it's a personal journey. Just like ours, a personal journey through a valley of fear. And I want us today to be able to acknowledge that and able to look at some of the things this psalm writer found that led beyond that fear. Now, what is fear? Well, we know all about it. We know how it feels. And we know that even from the very beginnings of our lives, we feel fear. Little baby Maxwell in the hospital today, should something tilt her a little bit, her arms might flail out because she's afraid of falling. Just a few hours old, but fear is a part of her natural and normal reaction. And we admit that fear is something that is so totally normal. Anytime we feel threatened, that's what exactly we're going to feel. And we know that it's a body reaction. When that threat comes, our breathing gets quicker, our heartbeat grows, our muscles begin to tighten, our blood flow changes, our pupils dilate, our sweat glands begin to do their thing. That's the physical response to fear. And there's not really anything we can do to control it. Now, a microsecond later, our thinking brain will interpret the threat and hopefully lead us to some wise and appropriate reactions. But the fear that comes in the gut, that's what we feel so instantly. The psalm writer reflects on it. Verse 1 and verse 3, we've already read the words about fear. But look in verse 9, there is spiritual distress that he mentions. In verse 10, there's an estrangement from the loved ones. And in verse 12, there's that sense of confusion, of not knowing what to do and which way to go. It seems like that this psalm writer is really reading our mail. He knows exactly what we've been through as we've struggled to adjust in all of these ways. And we need to be very clear, this fear is well placed. You are brave to be here today, but you're cautious with your mask and with the social distancing. Others want to be here, but they're joining us through the live stream. It's well that we are taking these cautions. For we've marked this week that our nation has lost 100,000 people. We can't even grasp what it would mean for 100,000 people to die in 4 months. Across our nation, it's inconceivable. Millions of more have struggled through some of the worst sickness and illness that they've ever felt. And the financial damage is still unfolding. And the emotional strain for families, you've walked through it as you've adjusted your family or your work. We know what this has done to us. Fear is appropriate when danger is lurking or we're fools. We feel that fear, and we know that it's real. But we must understand something different today. And if you don't hear me say anything else, I'd like for you to hear me say this. Fear is a legitimate feeling that we have in our guts. But being afraid is a choice that we make. Fear is something that comes to us almost automatically, but being afraid and living in the identity of fear is something completely different. When we feel fear, we react to a present danger, but when we begin to accept the fear and absorb it into ourselves, when we become afraid, then we have stepped into a new place. To feel fear is to recognize that something outside is threatening us. To be afraid is to take that into our identity and to become people of fear. In our little coloring book of life, we begin to use the red colors of fear on every page. That is different than feeling the gut sense of a threat. Being afraid is when we get confused. People who are in fear may stop or flee or freeze or fight. But people who have accepted the identity of fear begin to do things that don't really make sense. We rush to the store and we buy the toilet paper. When we have accepted that fear and put it into our hearts as an identity, then we struggle with yeast. What do I do with yeast? Now that I bought 10 packets of yeast, what do I do with yeast? When we've accepted fear into identity, we start blaming other people, even other nations, and we rush towards unproven things, or we hide in isolation. All of that is in the process of going from the gut fear to the being afraid. And that is a choice that we make. I think this psalm gives us some help as we think about how we can live in a time of fear without being afraid. So let's look at it in detail. The first thing that we might see is that finding the presence of God helps us to overcome that being afraid. Look at verse 4 just for a moment. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek. And by the way, this is the only time in the Old Testament where a person says there's one primary thing. There are several where there's listings of things, but this is the one place where one thing is dominant. What does he say? That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. Now, in that ancient day, the temple, the tabernacle, was erected there in Jerusalem. At this time, probably about 800 years before Christ, it was Solomon's temple. And it was believed in the theology of that day to be the actual dwelling place of God. This was God's address in that building. His living presence was there. And as the worshipers would draw closer, preparing themselves, they would sense deep in their soul that they were drawing near to the very presence of God in that Holy of Holies. Now today, we celebrate Pentecost. And what does Pentecost mean? It is the coming of the Holy Spirit upon the church. It is the rushing wind and the tongues of fire and the words spoken that everyone can hear, signaling that God's Spirit was inaugurating a new age. It is an age in which the Spirit of God is not in one simple building or even some mechanical force scattered across the universe, but instead a living and active presence. A presence here and now with you and with me. The living God is here. Jesus hinted at that when he said in John chapter 14, "On that day you will realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you." There was going to be a unification of every believer with the divine spirit. There was going to be a pouring out of God's presence where you live and where I live. Now, we call this capacity of knowing God in this immediacy, we call it worship. Worship. Worship is when the barrier falls between thinking that God is over there somewhere and I'm here. Worship breaks down that barrier. The veil is torn, and worship draws our hearts to Him. We can do that here in a beautiful sanctuary with music around us. We can also worship God on the dark shadows of a graveside. We can worship God in the stillness of a beautiful morning as the birds are singing. Worship is all about awakening our heart to the presence of God where we really didn't see that presence before. And when we do, it changes everything. We'll notice that in this psalm, verses 5 and 6, as he seeks God, then things begin to change. He says, "For in that day of trouble, God will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his tabernacle, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I'll sing and make music to the Lord." Everything became different when the psalmist recognized the living presence of God there in his life. And even more can we do that together. 21 times in the Gospels, Jesus says, "Do not be afraid." He says it because God's presence is real, and he was there with the disciples. I hope you, during this pandemic, have reacted a little differently than people in other places or with other beliefs. That you have recognized that even in the midst of a time of fear, there was a living presence with us. And we could celebrate that power and that fullness. There's one other thing that we see in this psalm. And it sounds kind of strange to us because we're activistic people. We're getting it done kind of folks. But the psalm writer says, "Wait on God. I'm confident of this," he writes. "I'll see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord." Now, how can we do such a thing as that? Well, one thing is to understand that waiting is not just a passive acceptance. To sit back with our arms folded and waiting for someone else to do something that might help us. No, as we read the Psalms, we see that waiting, every time the word is used, it is with the expectation and hope that an active God is active. That he is working in ways we cannot even imagine. If we read the scripture carefully, we begin to see this, and it changes everything about how we think of our world. For we know we're not alone, God's presence, but we know we don't have to work it fully out ourselves. God is coming and moving with us. Jesus said in John chapter 5, "My Father is always at work to this very day, and I am also working." Wow. What does that mean in a COVID kind of world? I think it means in a COVID kind of world that this mighty Holy Spirit who was active at Pentecost is also inspiring researchers and doctors as they labor to lead us towards medical answers. That's the Holy Spirit of God. I think the Holy Spirit of God is that creator who planted in your body an immune system that can respond to a future vaccine and has already fought off millions of viruses across your life. I think this active God is the universal Christ who has worked through nurses and doctors and caregivers to extend the hands of God and love and support for all of those around. This is our God who is active. And we celebrate that as we meet today. We are not alone during our fight. Now, during this waiting time, we have a specific role. We watch God. We look around to see how he's working in others. But we can also be learning and growing. The psalm writer says in verse 11, "During the time of waiting, teach me your way, O Lord." The waiting is not passive, it's not sleeping, it's not in a coma. It is a time of learning and growing, a time of listening to God, of being aware of when his spirit might move us to touch another person's life. I think if this psalm writer and those people of faith were with us today in the 21st century, they would be so very comfortable in our COVID time that we trust God, we also wash our hands 20 seconds at a time. We believe in God, we also wear masks when we're out in public. Those are the things that we've learned. As we've absorbed the lessons of science and technology, we know this is true. And so America facing this pandemic in 2020 is so much different than America and the world facing the Spanish flu in 2018. We have learned, and now we're more protected. But at the same time, we don't expect God to raise up some type of magic shield that will keep us and protect us in some magical totem kind of way. The tragic reality is that God knows our suffering, and the world that he has formed in his own uncoercive love is a world that does have sickness and it does have evil. Jesus himself suffered unto death. Believers across the centuries have struggled with persecution and famine and sword and all the things that we know have happened. Even in our pandemic, people who love Jesus very deeply have died. And we know those who have been very, very sick. We're not waiting on God expecting some magic, but we are confident that a God who spreads his wings across all of the universe, present, is also active in every way. And our work right now, part of it, is to wait and to watch how we then, when God opens the doors, can be agents of his reconciliation, ambassadors of his love, reaching out to others, even taking risks that touch the lives of many. We are his hands in this world as he opens the doors. And the time is going to come when Second Baptist will not be socially distanced. The time is going to come when we'll welcome one another with that hug and not just an elbow bump. The time will come when we can see our smiling faces and not just masks. And by the way, nobody even has a Texas Tech mask on in this entire worship center. And the time is going to come in which we'll sit shoulder to shoulder with cheering fans as Texas Tech wins game after game. That time is ahead of us. And we will be able to take up this psalm and psalm in verse 13. And we'll be able to say with this psalm writer, "I am confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." Some of you may be familiar with the Catholic writer and mystic Henri Nouwen. He wrote a lot of books sharing his life of pilgrimage of faith. And for a while, he lived in Canada. Henri Nouwen, during that time, became acquainted with a theatrical family known as the Flying Rodella family. They were trapeze artists. All of us have watched trapeze acts at the circus. And we know how spectacular it is when the flyer swings off into midair during somersaults, and then the catcher grabs her, and she is safe from her journey through the air. Meeting the Rodella family, Henri Nouwen talk to them about their wonderful work, their amazing capacities. And one day, a member of the family said, "Andre, do you know the secret of what we do?" He listened very carefully. As the man said, "You know, there is the flyer who swings and lets go, does the somersault, and then there's the catcher who's hanging upside down and reaches out at just the moment. The secret is that the flyer must never try to catch the catcher." Andre said, What? The flyer must never try to catch the catcher. She must never flail her arms trying to reach out where that person will be who will catch her. She must instead do her somersault, then come out and wait until the catcher is there to seize the arms and to rescue her from falling. God is with us. God is present in this world. God is active in ways that we cannot even begin to imagine. And one day God is going to open the doors for us to be even more agents of His work than we have been before. For we'll be in a world that has a new normal, and we must be a new people in the middle of it. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Would you bow with me in prayer just for a moment? Almighty God, we're amazed that people across the centuries have also walked this path, and yet we know how true it is. Our parents, our grandparents, our ancestors, those across the millennia have known exactly where we are today. Some of them might even be amazed that we have so much to protect and keep us. Lord, we commit to being open to Your presence. We may feel fear, but oh God, we will not absorb that to become afraid and to live with afraidness. No, we're going to learn about You. We're going to seek You. We're going to wait, and we're going to act as the time may come. Lord, write on our hearts the words of this psalmist: "The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" And God's people said, Amen. Let's worship through this video for a moment. Come.
And now would you bow in prayer? God of patience, teach us how to wait, be calm, and breathe you in. God of mercy, teach us how to forgive. God of kindness, teach us how to live in peace. God of love, teach us how to treat our enemies. God of justice, teach us how to be ever more generous. With our tithes and our offerings, God of generosity, teach us how to be generous. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.